It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
You know, I always say, as always, and it's
I'm not always here.
No, you're not. Like,
I'm mostly my co-host.
And mostly you're here. Whenever we have a Skype show, you're not here.
No.
There are times you're not here.
He might be here just lurking in the shadows.
Like Batman.
I feel like you're always in spirit. Bill Monroe is back.
How you doing?
And that is and Dave Redfield is here.
Hello.
I thought you were gonna forget to introduce Dave. I'm like, he's standing right there. He is not hiding in the shadows.
I was gonna explain why Bill is back so soon because he lives in Seattle and we usually Skype.
So we traveled to Seattle for the special
and
edition.
You know what?
Podcast.
To see Phoenix Comics.
People would know no differently if we didn't tell them.
No, it's just audio. But we are recording this podcast a day after the one that after last week's episode.
The episode you all listened to this morning.
Yes.
Because it was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
I had a great time.
It was a blast.
And I also want to thank Allison Clark, who was in the room and made a few comments, and you might have heard the clicking, but she took pictures, which are some of the nicest pictures that have ever been taken of this podcast.
It's pretty amazing.
They're all up on the Facebook page.
I got a lot of likes on that picture.
You got a profile picture out of that. That's a good one.
I got a whole bunch of likes from my friends before I even knew the picture was up there.
Yeah. There was something about putting a picture on the Facebook page with the podcast that it gets so much more interest.
Well, nothing enhances an audio medium quite like a picture.
There you go.
A picture says 1,000 words, right. which can't, for us, cancels about
30 I'm looking
minutes.
At the picture right now, and I want to say this is pretty remarkable stuff. I wish I could show you the picture.
Thanks, Dave.
How great it is right now.
Well, the reason that we are doing a podcast 24 hours later is because we all just watched the premiere of Gotham.
Yes.
That was a thing that happened.
Yep, that happened.
Yeah. Who wants to go first?
Well, I want to start off by saying that I lived in New York City for 18 years, which supposedly Gotham is modeled on. John, you lived there longer.
And I think they shoot it there.
And the shot part there, possibly shot part elsewhere. I have never seen anybody in Queens or Brooklyn or Manhattan scrambling around fire escapes in my life. And to watch Gotham and half the other shows, you think that's the only way people get around when they're not on the subway is scaling the freaking fire escapes.
Yeah. It's makes like the sense if you think about it.
It's like the pedway in the Chicago Loop. Right. Like, if you follow all the fire escapes, you can stay out of the rain.
Yes. So you don't step on the mystery moisture that scatters the streets like 5 weeks after. 5 weeks after, 5 weeks after it rains in New York and there's puddles.
Right.
I feel like mystery moisture is what comes out of Scooby-Doo's van. It's a totally green van now. Just mystery moisture, man. Uh-huh.
That's mystery vapor.
Yeah. I've been saying on this show for a long time that I think that this show has a lot of potential. I like the idea of a procedural show starring Jim Gordon and Harvey Bullock, who are already interesting characters. I'm fine with a Batman show without Batman. I'm okay with them changing the mythology, because let's face it, Christopher Nolan changed the mythology as much as Tim Burton did.
And pretty much every creator who works on any Batman property ever is putting right. a little twist on
including
things.
The comic book.
Yeah,
I mean, the mythology changes over the decades too.
Yeah. Different costumes, different
I'm
cars.
I'm fine with all that. I think this show has a lot of potential. I don't think this pilot comes near that potential.
No, I think the pilot tried to do way too much and threw in way too many winks at the audience and too much foreshadowing that was just a little too blatant. And rather than just introducing us to the characters and introducing us to the environment and giving us a sense of the way the show is going, it's almost like it feels less like an hour-long pilot for a 13-episode or 22-episode season and more like this is the opening hour of a three-hour movie and we got to set everything up right now.
Yeah.
There's no slow build to
nothing.
It.
Nothing. I had two things in the first one. is this whole premise of this Gotham, I kind of, after seeing the first episode, was able to, like, put a name to my pain. My whole problem with the show...
and it is Batman.
Is that...
Or the lack of it.
Lack of... No, it's, I don't care about that. My problem with this show is they were like, hey, y'all like Gotham Central, the comic book. It's a great thing. We're going to make that show. But
yeah,
we're...
Bill, Bill, do you know what Gotham Central, the comic book, was?
I don't.
Gotham Central was a really great comic book. It didn't last long, but it was about... the police force when Batman's not involved.
Okay.
So the idea is that Gotham City
they,
is...
special units. What was the special unit? Major Crimes Unit.
Crimes Unit.
It was Major Crimes Unit. And it starred Montoya and Christmas Allen, who are in this episode. Jim Gordon was not in Gotham Central because it was at a point in the continuity.
He wasn't
commissioner anymore.
He wasn't on the police force anymore. But Batman very rarely showed up. But the idea was that these are stories that happen when like Batman's with the Justice League. Or while Batman's chasing the Joker and the Penguin or something.
It's basically like the first story arc is Mr. Freeze kills a cop. And then the cops are like, we've got to solve this crime before it's nighttime. Because at nighttime, Batman's going to get him and we want him because he killed a cop. And it was basically the police... It was like...
Their race.
Yeah, it was like the shit the police would do while Batman's around fighting other guys. Because
when you're reading Batman, you're honestly only getting like what happens at night. Gotham...
And Batman's point of view.
Yeah, Gotham Central tells you like the rest of the city during the day and even at night when like Batman is going around.
Because the criminals aren't like taking a number like at the butcher to decide when they can commit their crime.
So
like,
a lot of them want to commit crimes during the day.
Like Killer Croc is fighting Batman in the sewer, but then like Scarecrow's hijacking like a train full of kids
at
or
the
something.
Same time.
Yeah. Right.
So see, it's like this. It's like every time the light goes on top of the police station when the bat signal goes on, that's when we come into the story. But what's great about Gotham Central is you're being led all the stuff prior to that light going off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's how this show started. I think that was a pitch for the show. And my guess was over the story meetings, they go, well, how can we explain why Batman's not in here? It's okay for one episode, but 26 episodes, people are just going to say, where's Batman? And when they did Birds of Prey, which was an immense bomb on the WB 10 years ago, they said that the Joker killed Catwoman and Batman got sad and left.
Which sounds like something Batman would
do. I was going to say, that seems like that seems like reasonable. I mean, the dude spends a lot of time. He's probably suffering from some chronic depression.
Yeah.
And at times, he's going to be less functional.
And to be fair, that's how The Dark Knight Rises opens.
Well, figure
that's very true. He's walking across the tundra.
Batman's parents are murdered when he's 8, so he stops maturing at 8 years old. So he handles problems like a kid. You piss the kid off, he just walks away. And he's just like sulks in his room. That's what Batman's doing.
Comes back in a costume and beats the living snot out of you. Right. That's what happens.
Just like 8-year-olds do.
Yeah, but I feel like most people would be like, no, Batman doesn't quit. That's part of his problem.
Yeah, they sure do make him a quitter for a guy who isn't supposed to quit.
So I think in the story notes they were like, well, what if we said it before Batman? And what if it's that scene in Batman Begins where Commissioner Gordon gives Bruce Wayne the coat?
He doesn't give him the code in the pilot.
But they do the same lines. The episode opens with the Wayne's getting killed, and it's almost word for word the Christopher Nolan Batman Begins scene.
And I think that in some ways does a disservice to it. Yeah. I don't think you need to open up with the killing of the Waynes. I think if Gordon is going to be the star of the show, I think you open up on Gordon. And the killing of the Waynes is something that happens.
Yeah,
that
I think that's what I was going to say. The problems I have with it is it's a show set up. And it's like, all right, we're going to make this awesome show about like Gotham City and it's going to follow the police, but we're going to make it as hard on ourselves as possible. So it's like, we're going to set it before Batman exists. But we're also going to introduce like every character that like is possibly going to show up in the series. We're all going to give them like a minute in the first episode because why not? Like,
exactly.
They have like Catwoman climbing on everything in the background of every scene. It's like, don't need to see... Like,
at the end of the episode, she's climbing on the gate of Wayne Manor, and Dave actually said the show, isn't Wayne Manor like 20 miles outside the city limits?
Yeah, but that's what it's like. Why does she... Like, can't they introduce Catwoman in like a later episode? Like, lead up to it. Who are they going to introduce now? We saw Penguin, Riddler, Catwoman, the mob boss girl, the...
Falcone,
Jim Gordon, his partners, the other two cops, Bruce... You saw the
possibly
entire...
Possibly even the Joker.
Yeah, we saw the entire cast of the show.
And that was the thing. There was a scene for no reason where there was a stand-up comedian auditioning, and they just keep cutting back to him, even though he's doing nothing, just so the audience would go, maybe that's going to be the Joker.
Don't spread the rumor, John. It's not the Joker.
It's something, too, where it's like you want to do like the Joker, hint at him. It's just like do a Red Hood gang thing. You can lead up. It's like, and then, I don't know. It's just like, all right, and the Poison Ivy's in this. It's like, Jesus, come on. Like, well, how many more characters could you have stuck
Alfred
in this?
Alfred is in this?
Well, yeah, it's like, I'm surprised Mr. Freeze and Clayface and Killer Croc weren't hanging out at a bar or something. Like,
there's a scene where they're hung up in a meatpacking plant. And they're like, bring out the executioner. And I was right about to say jokingly, like, I would pay money if that was Killer Croc. And just like a giant lizard man just showed up in the middle.
I thought it was going to be Killer Croc.
And then a guy shows up and he's in this, he has like
S&M.
He's in this S&M garb with like a black hood. And for a minute I was like, I think that's supposed to be Bane.
And that's another thing, too, where it's just like, you know, there's probably some producer or something sitting somewhere like a week after they finished that episode. And he's like, that could have been another bad guy because we didn't put enough of them in this fucking episode.
You know, they were in a meat locker. We could have had Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
The hard thing is like you compare this show with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know Steven always goes like, I ain't watching that show because until Cap, Thor, or Iron Man show up, I don't care. But what's great about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they're S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. So they could go on and do their own stories whatsoever. And you never have to worry about them ever interfering with anyone from the Avengers or like a superhero group.
And
essentially.
They have that balance where, see, when you go back to it, because as you know by now, after Winter Soldier, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. becomes great.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they have like Sif show up. Or they have
it's not watch it on Netflix.
But they very clearly live in the Marvel universe and they comment on what's going on in the films.
Yeah.
And that's what this show is not.
Doing. Yeah, and like what it
doesn't open with, you know, Agent Coulson having shawarma with, you know, Tony Stark.
Yeah, like that's the problem about Gotham. It's like they're like, oh, okay, we could do the cop thing about Batman, and then people are like, yeah, but people are going to want Batman. And then they try to jam all this Batman into it. And it's a Batman that we don't... Like, who really wants to see an 8-year-old Poison Ivy, a 10-year-old Catwoman,
an 8-year-old... Well, who gives a shit about an 8-year-old Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if he's going to be in the entire season, and every week Jim Gordon's going to go to his house, and, I haven't solved the murder yet, but I promised you I would. We all know he never solves that crime. So we're setting up is fucking Jim Gordon sucks at his job. Yeah. That's the show.
And that's actually what motivates Bruce to... Find the killer because it's
I
not
can't
it's,
trust this guy.
It's because he's like, I'm sick and tired of having Gordon come over. It's getting really annoying now, so I'm just gonna go out, save Gotham, so he doesn't come to my house anymore.
You know what? The way you set this up, there is a Phantom Menace smell about this pilot.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It's like we're gonna see the Sand People killed the Waynes.
Right? We totally talked about that like 3 weeks ago on the podcast. The Waynes being killed by Sand People.
I think this boils down to the show right now, and this could be a result of it being through too many committee meetings. Maybe it should have launched in another format. But this is a show that so far after the pilot, and I know you can fairly judge a show after its pilot. lacks courage in its convictions. It lacks the courage to stick with its format and to just go forward with that format of the procedurals, introducing Gordon in that rough time. So they're just caving to demands instead of just insisting, this is what we're going to do, trust us.
And that's probably why we got so many like hints, you know, because they're like, all right, we showed Bruce Wayne as an 8-year-old, so people already know right off the bat we're not going to get Batman. So we just have to throw as many big-name characters as we can. It's like Poison Ivy, Penguin, Catwoman, like, just give them up.
But, of course, none of them can be villains because then they'd be too old to fight
so it's all how they're starting. It's all their origin stories. But, you know, and even with doing that and throwing that all in there, we really don't need to see Catwoman every other scene scaling over something.
That's
the beginning
thing.
Is fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Even, like, with Penguin, show him as a Lola. Level goon, you call him Oswald or you call him Cobblepot. They made like 6 Penguin jokes, and it's just like, all right, this guy's gonna become the Penguin.
And as you said, this guy is tall and thin. This guy looks more like Data than Penguin.
And the other thing,
so
too,
like, where do they come up with a Penguin name? And I almost said during the episode when you said that, why are they calling him Penguin? I'm like, well, you know, he's holding an umbrella, and then I realized, you know, like the Batman character. Like, almost like one of those guys is, hey, look at your nose. You look like the Penguin from Batman.
Right.
Even though we're in Gotham.
And there's no Batman yet.
There's no Batman.
It's a postmodern Gotham. It's gone all meta.
Yeah.
The thing that's really going to upset me is this is a show on Fox, and usually every show on Fox lasts about a season, and then it gets canceled. I have a feeling like Gotham's going to be around for a long time.
Well,
I'm like, I can't get Firefly back, but I get this shit for 3 seasons? Come on.
Well, the thing about it is, I think there's still potential. It's a good cast, and Ben McKenzie and Bullock are and Donald Logue are both interesting in it. It did piss me off that the first shot of Bullock is Bullock wearing glasses and he has a mustache. You know, why can't Gordon wear glasses? I'm not a purist by any means. Like I said, you can change all you want. But, like, he doesn't look anything like Jim Gordon. It's like you could – it's a couple of simple changes.
Yeah. Out of all the people that need to be aged, it's definitely Gordon. Because he looks like – I'll guess he's, like, supposed to be 23, 24.
At least have him put on glasses when he's, like, reading.
Yeah.
You know? The thing about Gordon is his iconic look is the glasses and the mustache.
When is that stash going to come in? Smoking out of the pipe, too.
He doesn't always smoke out of the pipe.
No, he's supposed to have cigarettes or something.
Yeah, he always smokes. That's why he's trying to quit him.
I think if they had just toned down like the bullshit in this show, it could have been a lot better than, you know, like you said, it was like they're desperate almost, where it's just like, hey, wait, come on, we got more stuff. Don't worry, we're going to keep showing you some more stuff. Stick with us. Come back next week, more stuff.
And that's the problem with a lot of networks. They don't trust the viewers.
Yeah.
And you got to trust the viewers.
Right.
That's the most important word I think you said was tone.
Yeah.
Was I felt like for the most part, I thought it was a decent script. There were a couple of turns that I didn't buy. There were a couple of cameos that I didn't buy. The cast is good. The premise is really, really strong. I felt like it wasn't so much the writing. The direction was so over the top.
Yeah.
That it was like it. I thought what we were going to get was like a down and dirty, like Deadwood in Gotham City, little bit of Justified, and what we got was like Law and Order and Smallville. And the look of this thing, it looked like Batman Forever. There was constantly flashing police sirens outside, which made everything red and yellow. And then the acting, I've seen Donald Logue in a lot of things. I've never seen him overact. And that's direction. And it's like, it almost felt like, hey, we're doing a comic book show, but we don't have any superheroes. So everybody act crazy like a comic book.
Ugh.
People were chewing the scenery left and right. And I thought we were going to get something very toned down and very serious. Like, I thought if they were going to err on any side, they would try to make it look like Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Christopher Nolan films look more realistic than the show does.
Yeah.
And there's like a dude in a bat suit running around for 90% of them. You know what I mean? It's just like there's no one in a costume in this.
It feels like, it doesn't feel like an adult show, despite being, what, TV 14?
Yeah, it's very violent, it's an adult show in the same way.
Like, it's not like... It's an adult show like there's adult comic books. They're not highbrow or like super intelligent.
Well, not that, but
they're
I'm just saying like the cartoon, there's a lot of cartoonish themes throughout the whole entire pilot where I'm just like thinking mature. Like, I thought we were supposed to bring this down a bit.
Yeah.
And like keep it more to like...
Yeah, it's not even at a Walking Dead type level.
No, it's just way, like... It's like goofy. Said, it's like...
It made me think of
Fish
Schumacher.
Fish Eye Mooney. Mm-hmm. Like, well, Jada Pinkett Smith's character? What was her character's name?
Fish Mooney.
Fish Mooney. It's like, what's exactly her role?
I think she's the kingpin at the time, and then she'll probably get taken down.
I think Falcone's like the big crime boss. Right. She's like another, like a lower level boss that's not affiliated.
Because I got the idea that she was like under Falcone.
Yeah, I think I get the sense she's under Falcone, but she's going to make a play
to
overthrow
him. She's going to be the major villain. I think it's going to come down between Penguin and Fish Mooney. Penguin and fish. Penguins eat fish.
But what stinks is like we're like already the penguin character.
It got to the point where I was surprised he didn't do that laugh. When he comes back at the end and he's all crazy and he's like, I thought he was gonna like, and he looks out over the sky, I thought he was just gonna go.
I really think we missed out. I think they screwed up the penguin.
Not only, well, they screwed up a lot of things. The
Riddler was good.
This show was reasonably subtle. It was subtle. Yeah. They didn't go too crazy with it.
He felt like he fit in
both this universe and the Batman world.
I just think it's something with like, you know, this episode takes place over maybe a week. Does everyone think about it? Maybe like five days. All right. Well, about a week, minus the weekend, seven days. Anyway,
they didn't shoot the weekend.
So in about a week, Jim Gordon met like 16 psychopaths. Think about it. He meets Poison Ivy. He meets Riddler. He meets Bruce Wayne. He meets the fucking, who am I missing? Penguin. He missed Fish Girl. It's like he met like half of Batman's rogues gallery in 5 days. Yep. He just got to Gotham. What's a month gonna look like? What the fuck? Every little kid in the show is a psychopath that's gonna grow up to terrorize this city. He should just start putting bullets in people's heads.
You know, this makes me want to keep watching the show to see how desperate they get. Because you joked before, it's like, when's Clayface going to show up? When you started talking about what's the rest of the season going to be, I'm like, the season finale is going to be fucking man bad.
Right.
No, they're like flapping around.
You know how you need to end this series when it gets canceled after 3 episodes? It's just Jim Gordon going around putting a bullet in the heads of all these kids.
Yeah.
The Riddler and Poison Ivy and everybody.
It's like any kid that's like a little too quirky.
And it turns out they were never actually the villains. The whole series is just the serial killer that is Jim Gordon. And he's just Vision. They're all going to grow up to terrorize the city. I'm saving the city now.
That's what his son is in the Black Mirror.
It's like they could have just, toned it down a lot more, kept a lot of the guys out, like, you know, all right, they'll still maybe do Arkham Asylum. We'll maybe meet the Arkham, whatever his name is, Jeremiah Arkham. Scarecrow could be like a doctor there. Like, there's reasons that they could get away with this stuff without being so, like, highbrow. It's like, you know, all they had to do with that Riddler scene was just, like, one joke about it. But they were like, you like telling jokes. It's the Riddler. Don't ask questions. It's like,
he did it
6 times in 3 minutes. And it's just like, we get it. He's the Riddler. We saw the poster. It's in all my comic books. Like, I know who all these fucking guys are supposed to be.
It's funny. This is almost, I was saying how it reminds me of Smallville, which I never liked, which is also why I don't watch Arrow, even though a lot of people say it's good. It still has that tone of Smallville. I can't get into it. But it reminds me of how Smallville was so frustrating that they wouldn't show enough of the Superman mythology. They were like, well, here's kind of a Bizarro, but he's not really a Bizarro. Here's Lex Luthor, but they're friends and he's not going to do anything. And you were like, oh, I want to see him put on the cape and be Superman. And I feel like this is doing the opposite, where we're not going to show you Batman. We're going to show you everything about the Batman world in one pilot.
And I think at least how with Smallville, they told us what we were getting when they put that show on there. I said, no flights, no tights. This is the thing I read in every interview. They were like, look, we can't do Superman. The show is called Smallville, not Superman. And then, you know, it went fucking 10 years and they were like, we got to go to Metropolis eventually, right? And, you know, they ran into the ground. But, it's like, I think it's like you said, they're just cramming too much into this show because it's like, they clearly don't have faith in what they're doing. Because if they did, they would have showed restraint and held some of those characters back.
Right, and that's a common theme that we keep talking about with Warner Brothers in DC, is that they don't have confidence in their characters. And we've always said the only character they have confidence in is Batman, where they let Christopher Nolan do whatever he wanted, and they have such confidence in Batman that they're shoving him into the next Superman movie. This is the first thing I've seen Warner Brothers produce about Batman that doesn't have confidence.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have Batman?
It just doesn't have Nolan.
Well, yeah, that's
true. I can't say it's just because it doesn't have Nolan.
But even Burton and even Schumacher made money for Warner Brothers. They weren't too worried about it. It's like, they worry about it not making money. They worry very much about any other character not making money, because one chance they took was Green Lantern.
I think my thing, well, this is on Fox too, so it's like a different head department.
Well, and that gave me hope that it wasn't going to be on the WB, that it wasn't going to be another Arrow.
Yeah, but
it was going to have a different tone, and it was going to be more adult. It wasn't going to be like supermodels wandering around, except, of course, for Jim Gordon's girlfriend.
But here's the thing, though. If we did stick with Gotham Central minus the supervillains, because there's no supervillains till Batman shows up, it would just be a cop show. And a cop show on Fox. But just happens to take place in Gotham.
But it would be like Millennium. It would be a cop show with just a tinge of a superhero world. Well, where I could see them following serial killers that have like hints of Scarecrow or hints of Zazz.
Or other things in the DC, something's
wrong with this city.
Well, all I'm saying is this. It's like, I would prefer not to have these hints of Scarecrow, hints of Zazz. I'm more interested, like the Long Halloween. Like that crime, the mob story in the Long Halloween, for me was more interesting than anything else that's happened.
Well, that's a lot of Batman Begins.
Yeah, and if that's where we were, and if Gotham was, hey, this is a cop show, but this is a cop show that goes all the way back, like the Falcone family, and then you have this family, and you have that family, and this is the world you live in. Now see how they have to deal with like a police force controlled by the mob, which is something they were trying to direct when Falcone showed up. And he was explaining, like, this is how the world works. It's like, I'm a businessman, and you need law and order in order for blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, this is the pitch of the show.
Yeah, this was interesting.
Right. This was interesting. But the thing is, it just jammed all this, like, here's Poison Ivy. And that's where, like, you know, you said, like, I want this hint of this and this. I don't want any of that. I want Falcone, and I want to see someone try and go up against Falcone, and I want to see the aftermath of that. I want to see how cops can't get anything done because the mob controls everyone. I want to see more of that, and I want to see Gordon struggle to try and right the wrongs in Gotham when his partner is already, like, I could feel that in Bullock, like, the acting in Bullock is, Bullock's like, listen, I try to be a good guy, and look what happened, so F it.
Yeah, but I want to get that final scene where I thought he went so far over, I'm like, how am I supposed to sympathize this character where he's like, well, you got to shoot the Penguin or I'm going to shoot you? I'm like,
no, because
I think we're too far away.
No, because that's Bullock saying, like, listen, kid, it's like, I've been in your shoes. This is how it goes. It's like, I got to do this. To show how far Bullock has gone. And what I want to see is, I want to see Gordon be like, no, Bullock, we don't have to work this way, and slowly pull him back. Because how awesome would it be if we're, like, towards the end of the season or at the end of this season of Gotham, and you have Bullock and Gordon on the same page now, and they both believe together they could start changing Gotham. Then we go into the second season. That's when the mob war starts. And just see Bullock and Gordon start this. Maybe the special crimes unit starts jumping in and backing up Gordon. And then you start seeing a change. And we get this change going on and on. And eventually something's going to strike. I don't know what it is because I'm not writing a show. I'm not going to give my best idea out there for free. But something strikes and Gotham is broken again. And Gordon's like, I have no idea what I'm going to do. And at that moment, that's when Batman shows up.
Well, see, the thing that the something strikes, I think that's when you raise it to a supervillain level.
Yeah,
maybe,
but
it's,
and that's
the Joker,
why...
Or maybe it's Mr. Freeze. It's something with a little bit of the hint of the supernatural.
But that's,
but
the
that's
problem.
That's
is...
something that's going to happen. Like, we're talking seasons down the road.
Not
and
even,
that's the perfect...
Because they're saying if, you know... And there's no rule that says there can't be supervillains without Batman. But the problem is, if Batman's parents just died, he's 8 years old... All right, he's not going to be fighting a bunch of, like, old folk supervillains, right?
Yeah.
But it's like if they had put this show and said Batman exists, or maybe he doesn't exist, but it's modern day, you could use guys like Mr. Freeze and the Riddler, because who says they can't run around before Batman?
How old do you think the Penguin is, or Riddler, or how old do you think, if they do show Mr. Freeze, how old are they going to be by the time Batman becomes Batman?
Well, figure,
like, that's like, what,
they're, like, late. They're all in their late 20s, and Batman's 8 years old,
so they could be middle-aged.
Any villain, and Ben is Batman.
Yeah.
I'm not
going to
fight your kid in 20 years and win that fight. You know what I mean? It's like, it's ridiculous.
It makes Batman less Batman because he's beating up 50-year-old guys. He's a whopping 23-year-old, like, knows all these, like, forms of fighting, and he's whopping 50-year-old guys.
Yeah, I still feel like the show could have worked without Batman if they came out and said it in the Nolan universe and said, this is everything that happened in between. Like, when Heath Ledger is the Joker out there, at the same time there's a Riddler. And this is the Riddler, and we've recast Gordon and we brought in Bullock, who we didn't use before. But if they said in that universe the same way they did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, this is what S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing. And Steven, you're going, well, what's Captain America doing? Captain America's doing Winter Soldier. Go see it.
Right.
Yeah.
What's Tony Stark doing? Tony Stark's doing Iron Man 3. Go see that. And they're all happening at the same time. They all exist in the same world. If we did that retroactively and said, this is in the world of that Batman trilogy, which takes 20 years to tell.
Yeah.
You could have fit all these stories in. And you could have had that, just that gray period between the end of Dark Knight and... Dark Knight Rises. You could have stretched that out and said, well, actually, Bruce was Batman for a little while. Or this is when Bruce quit.
Right.
And this is how the cops dealt with the rest of organized crime.
Well, I think the other cool things that are going on, a few things pop out. First of all, while we don't have the supervillains in the, you know, they're just nascent supervillains, at the same time, Gotham, at least theoretically, exists in the same universe as the rest of DC. So the people in Gotham are theoretically aware of supervillains and superheroes in the world. They know Metropolis exists. They don't live there.
Yeah.
But so Superman's stuff is going on. So there's already the possibility of just having that awareness and just being out of the superhero supervillain wars, but they're going on in other places in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that plays in place. I think what's also really interesting is when we were talking about Falcone before and that being interesting, I think that is interesting. I think when you look at the tone of the show, that is the only time the show calms down.
Yeah.
It gets quiet, it gets slow, and they have that subtle conversation. And that's the most interesting part of the show.
That was the best part of the show.
And that's where TV has gone. We don't need this bombastic, you know, wrap everything up in 40 minutes. What you were pitching, Dave, is the kind of things that happen on cable.
Yeah. So I was just noticing that Gotham is the modern day Adam West show of Batman. It's the cartoonish.
I even said during the show, I was like, how pissed is Adam West that he didn't get cast as Alfred?
Yeah, and then that's the thing. Alfred, I guarantee, is going to be like some crazy military badass.
Did you see him? He's like Earth One Alfred.
Yeah, they've been doing that, and they did that on Beware the Batman, the CG animated show. They seem to really like that idea.
But you know what I did like about Alfred in this was that Alfred historically, or in my perception as a Batman adjacent fan, Alfred was always sort of had that high class, that stiff upper lip. There was something about his presence that said, you know, even though he's a servant, he is a professional and he has this down and there's that subtle classiness about him.
Yeah.
This Alfred, while he's going to be responsible and he's going to take care of Bruce, this is a guy from the bar in a suit.
Yeah.
I feel like
when Bruce is crying at night, missing his mommy, you hear Alfred go, "Hey, Bruce, shut the bloody hell up.
Yes.
I'm trying to sleep and these hookers are trying to snort cocaine." And then he just goes back
in
his bed.
That's how Jen Entwistle died.
Yeah, and it's just like, I'm like, okay, Alfred's an asshole.
As both the way he should be, which is, you know, Master Wayne, is that how your father would like you to behave?
Yeah.
You need to be responsible now.
Maybe this show, since apparently we're not leaving Bruce and Alfred alone ever, that's
why he turns into a psychopath.
Maybe this show will answer the one hole in the Batman mythology for me. This has always bothered me about Batman. So Batman's parents are murdered, and they give custody to the guy that worked in the house.
Yeah, but I think it's...
Alfred's always just been like, well, I'll keep working here then. I'll keep dusting the furniture. No one will pay me. And I have full custody of a child I share no DNA with.
You want me to fix that for you? The Waynes were smart enough to set up a trust.
Yeah.
And a trust that benefits Alfred for the care of Bruce Wayne in the event they're untimely passing.
That's such a basic
estate plan.
That's how I thought it was always like that. Guardian.
Yeah.
I thought it was always like there's a will. Like I always thought they probably one night were like, "Hey, Alfred." He's like, "What the bloody hell do you want?" It's like, "So we're thinking about making you in the event that me and the missus die drunk, like in a car accident, maybe shot in an alley. Who knows?
Who can say?
You cool with being Bruce's guardian?" It's like, "Bloody hell, not perfect. All right, just sign it right here.
You'll keep your pension."
Exactly. Of course, if you're not, I will have to start interviewing additional help now.
And then Alfred was
maybe the maid would like to raise Bruce Wayne.
Right. Maybe Bruce Wayne would like to be raised by the maid.
We never met the maid in Wayne Manor.
There's no
maybe Anne Harriet would like to take care of Bruce.
Except in the Nolan movie, the maid is Catwoman. Yeah. So
that's why she's creepy. Maybe like the one of the maids, her daughter is Catwoman. That's why she's like, "I'm just trying to get home by climbing on top of this lion statue."
Okay, so how long until Bruce befriends the Catwoman who's bouncing around all the fire escapes and everything, and Alfred takes her in to be an intern?
Sweeps.
Right.
This week on a very special
season one. Definitely season one.
So you know what's weird about this is like, oh man, later we're going to see Bruce at school and Gordon like eventually is going to come by school and hear that Bruce got into a fist fight. It's like, "Bruce, why did you get into a fist fight?" "Because you haven't solved my murder, my parents' murder."
But like that dude's going to be homeschooled.
Yeah, but like, we're going to see Bruce more and more for the rest of the season. That's something I'm not interested in.
Didn't you think that's what you were going to get when they showed
those
profile pictures and they kept showing the one of Bruce Wayne like with all the other characters?
I was hoping they were going to be like, "Here you go. Bruce will come in the beginning. No. Maybe you'll see him later towards the end."
Yeah.
That's as soon as I saw they cast the kid as Bruce and I was like, "Oh, fuck this show."
At this point, I think they're going to cast the actress who played Luna Lovegood in Harry Potter and make her Harley.
Luna Lovegood has
That would be amazing. She that actress who was unknown who really just showed up at basically open casting call for that first movie.
I thought she won a
she was
contestant.
Like a contest or something. Yeah, contest it was winner. Something it was really just pulled out of pure obscurity.
Oh, no, Doctor Who trivia. Sorry,
and she just nailed that role. Did just an amazing job at that scene that movie with relatively small part just exploded onto the scene.
Scene stealers.
Scared the heck out of me.
But yeah, it's just like, they're just going to get to everybody. Like, they'll save Joker until second season or third season or something. It's just like, if we get a third season.
Then how long until we reach out to the rest of the DC universe? And there's a kid with a Green Lantern ring.
No, because.
And there's a Martian.
This is supposed to be closed off. It's on
Fox.
And
there's two kids and a dog.
Like,
and
yeah,
there's
that's
a space
actually a good
monkey.
Point. If this is on Fox, do they not have the rights?
They
to...
don't. That's the thing. It's like
no,
that's
but it's a Warner Brothers show. No, Fox doesn't produce it. Warner Brothers produces
still,
it and airs it on Fox.
But still, like Geoff Johns, who's in charge of the media, whatever, with DC and Warner Brothers, he says none of the TV shows are connected to the movie. And
TV shows are connected to each other, except maybe Arrow and Flash.
And then
we've got Constantine, we've got iZombie. There's Supergirl in the works. There's Teen Titans in the works. None of them are going
to
connect.
That to me is insane.
It is.
But Flash
it's
and Arrow connect.
Flash was
and then you're
on
gonna
Arrow.
And you're gonna get like the
and
Adam,
that's more confusing.
And gonna,
where all of these are separate except for these two.
Well, that, I think what's going to happen is a popular trend. People are going to be like, "Why are they not connected? Connect them." And that's what probably will happen. But the other thing too
and
is
that's
no
why
one...
they had to write Crisis on Infinite Earth 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's like DC's shows are doing
Netflix
the same
now.
Shit. And I think that's something where it's like, you know, it's that there's no logical reason to keep them separate. They could be like, oh, we want to respect the creators that are working on these properties and give them creative freedom. And it's just like, they don't do that in the fucking comic books. And there's fucking 50 Batman titles, right?
Gotham is the only one that has a reason to be separate because it's if they were all connected, this is set 20 years in the past.
But it shouldn't be. How much more interesting is that show when, like, the Superman-Batman movie happens, and then they destroy Gotham City, and then the next season of Gotham is, wow, Superman destroyed this fucking city, now we have to deal with that. Like, the stories you can't do that are Gotham City stories. No Man's Land could be an entire 2 or 3 seasons of that show. Can't do No Man's Land, because how many fucking earthquakes can hit Gotham City and destroy the whole
And you know,
fucking
which
place?
Is exactly what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing.
That's what I'm saying. That's
you know,
why it's a
Winter
smarter
Soldier
show.
Came out on a Friday. That Tuesday, it fucked up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And to the point where I went to see it opening weekend, Renee stayed home. And it was pretty much spoiled for her. Like, we ended up going to see it in the second run theater so she could see it again. But she saw that movie and went, oh, yeah, I understand what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was doing.
You see
they don't care. They're like, you go see this damn movie in 5 days.
I think they're just assuming, you know, these movies are popular so people are seeing them. You know, I like I said, I just can't get around the logic that DC just wants to keep all this stuff separate. You know, it's like,
I know.
It's crazy.
And that's why Marvel's coming ahead. I mean, we haven't even talked about Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist.
Yeah, the Netflix series.
And that comes out this summer.
Is it this summer?
Yeah, this summer.
I think Daredevil's the first one. They're filming it
now.
Are they
doing them one at a time? They're not.
No,
it's not like all four are coming out together, are they?
No, they're all coming out together.
Wow. Daredevil's the only one I know about that is actually being shot right now.
And
it looks great.
Is the previous Daredevil still part of the canon?
Nope.
No.
No, because Marvel Studios.
It's not Marvel, yeah.
Marvel
yeah.
Studios didn't own those. They licensed it out like X-Men. So they're rebooting Daredevil, but this Daredevil lives in the Avengers, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel Studios universe.
Okay.
So let's say it becomes immensely popular. Let's say it's an Orange is the New Black type hit. You could throw him in Avengers.
Okay.
You could put him anywhere. He'd be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You could do team-up movies. You could get his own movie. You know, it's ridiculous. And that's what I'm saying.
It's so great
like,
and smart.
We kept talking about Justice League, you know, and they're trying to cram all these people into it, and it's just like, let's not waste time. Throw Green Arrow in there. Grab the Flash from the Flash. Throw him in there. It's like, you guys got to start making some moves, man. It's just like, you're way, way behind the fucking game here.
Oh my God. You know, all the rumors we've been hearing about Batman Superman. This guy's in it. This guy's in it. This guy's in it. This guy's in it. What if it's just like this pilot?
It probably is going to be
no,
just
that's,
like this pilot.
I clearly, that's what I see. It's like, like that movie, I'm like, it's going to be just exactly. It's like, oh, here's Aquaman for 10 minutes. Hey, how you guys doing? It's like, pretty good, Aquaman. All right,
I'd
see
love
you
to
around.
See the script where Aquaman, I'd love to see the script where Aquaman's first line is, hey, guys, how y'all doing?
You know what? I guarantee you there's going to be a scene where, like, Bruce has to meet up with, like, what's the reporter? What's her name? Lois. No, Bruce is going to have to meet up with Lois, and they're going to have to pick up a discreet location.
And they're going like to be like,
it's an aquarium. And then the Aquaman's just one of the guys sweeping up. Hey, guys, how you doing? He just continues like, that was Aquaman. That was your cameo for Aquaman.
That's ridiculous. Cyborg. But that's not too far away from what this fucking Gotham pilot was like.
Yeah. Poison Ivy was what, just a kid?
Just for no reason. That's what I'm saying. In a week, he met like 12 people, and they're all going to be supervillains. What, the whole city's just full of people waiting to be supervillains, have their origin?
Isn't every city just filled with people waiting to be supervillains?
I live in the city, Dave. I am not sitting around my apartment waiting for a fucking supervillain origin to hit me.
Maybe it already has. Yeah,
maybe, it has. Maybe it already has. Maybe it was this fucking pilot. Seriously. But every week I watch the show because I can get frustrated.
Yeah, I am going to keep watching it. Just because of Batman,
it's a Batman show.
I want to see if they pull it together. I couldn't stick with Birds of Prey. Have you ever seen Birds of Prey?
You know what? Lisa would love that show, and she bought the DVDs and shit. So I've seen enough episodes. And I was in high school, I think, when that show came out. And I don't know if you know who was in that show. She walked around.
I was
leather costumes and breastises everywhere. Of course, I watched that show, John.
It was terrible.
It was awful, but it looked good.
And they did the same thing where they teased Harley and they teased Joker and they teased Batman and got canceled.
Well, Harley was in it, wasn't she? She was the one.
She wasn't full blown Harley. She was the Arkham.
How frustrating was that? What every season of the show is going to look like, where it's like, he's not the Penguin yet. Here's the guy that might be the Joker. The Riddler is just a guy who's weird and likes asking questions.
Harvey Dent is one face.
Yeah. It's just like, how awesome would this show been if you had Commissioner Gordon and Bullock are like the two main characters. Harvey Dent is a recurring, you know, character, like the DA, the district attorney, the guy, some hot shot up and coming DA. It's like, they could have done like an awesome, awesome like cast of characters, and they were like, nah, let's do all these characters at their least interesting.
You know what? You know what's interesting? I was just watching Beware the Batman, which, as you guys know, got canceled, and then they're dumping the episodes in Toonami, so they're showing them like 2 a.m.
Oh, I thought they put them on Netflix.
No, they are putting them on DVD, mm-hmm. but they're just airing them at like 2 a.m. like with anime. So I've been DVRing them because of Batman, and it's actually getting better, and they're doing what you're saying Gotham should be doing, like. They introduce Harvey Dent, but he's the DAA, and he hates Batman, and he's got a rivalry with Gordon. And you don't know if he's ever going to become Two-Face. And then this episode was like, this show had concentrated on like the C and D list villains. Like, they have never shown the Joker. They have never shown Penguin. They took 13 episodes to show Ra's al Ghul. But this episode, he goes into prison. He voluntarily like locks himself in prison so he can figure out like how somebody's going to get out. And Killer Croc just shows up. Like, Killer Croc's in prison. And he's like, who are you? And he's like, oh, they arrested me somewhere else. And then they fight. And it was like, oh, this is interesting. You're introducing the Rogues Gallery from different angles.
Yeah.
And you're sticking with the badass Alfred and Katana. But you're starting to weave in, like, the classic Batman. And it's interesting. Of course, now it's canceled. So wherever they were going, who knows?
But I think that's the problem. We'll never know where Gotham's going.
And maybe that's the problem with Batman. Like, you have to come right out of the gate and go, here's our Joker, here's our Penguin, here's our Riddler, here's Robin, here's the Batcave, here's Alfred, or else it's just a big tease.
So let me ask you something. Let's say this pilot was organized a little different, and we go from opening scene, Gordon, he's a cop, and the first call he gets is the murder of... the Waynes. You see Bruce 8 years old, and this is a rookie cop, Gordon. Then we go 10 years later. Would you prefer to see Gotham then?
Absolutely.
10 years later?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I was thinking that when they showed the scene of him talking to Bruce, I'm like, this is all I need to see of this time period.
Yeah, because it's like he's still not Batman. I mean, he still has to go off into the world and learn all that craziness.
There's another place to set it. Why don't you set it in the Nolanverse?
That's all
the
I
8 want.
8 years
where he's with Ra's al Ghul in the mountains, and this is Gotham getting worse and worse and worse.
Right. That's all I wanted from Scott Snyder for Year Zero, was just like, show me Bruce learning all this cool stuff.
And you got Bone Monster.
I got Squat. That's what I got. I you know what? I got one less book.
You got your $3.99 back every month.
Yeah. True story.
Yeah.
Favorite things about the show, real quick, because we kind of just took a dump on it. From the pilot? Anybody? Anybody?
All right. I will say this. It's a pilot. I think there's a lot of potential things here. I think if they back away from the pilot and learn how to write it, go back to the more... that scene with Falcone, that was great. If you can do more of that tone, I think you've got a show.
Yeah, I think the cast is good. The guy who played Jim Gordon's good. Bullock's good. Yeah. Renee and the other dude, whatever his name is, are good.
Crispus Allen.
Like, the Penguin looked good, and Riddler, all those characters, they all looked and acted fine. I just think, like you said, it was too over the top, and just them trying to cram as much as they could in the pilot, because I think they're just thinking, if we don't get him at the pilot, we'll never... They're not... And here's the funny thing, especially with, Netflix now. I didn't watch Breaking Bad when it was on TV. I watched it when it was already done. Same thing with Game of Thrones. I came in, people come into shows way later than they used to. It's not like, I missed the pilot, I'll never catch up. All this shit's streaming online. You can find copies of this stuff everywhere. They don't have any faith in their own products anymore. Right. They're just like, if we don't get you during the pilot, we'll never get you. That's not true anymore. It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Didn't you say it doubled its viewership halfway through the season because everyone saw Captain America the Winter Soldier?
When Captain America happened, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when they came on, it was a huge premiere. It was the third largest. It beat one of the NCIS, I believe.
Yeah.
But it was the third highest.
We covered it the night it came
and,
out.
And we all thought that show was going to turn out great. And then as we watched it, we slowly saw it dip down and down. And it didn't hurt that this is the first season. And we're doing 23 episodes, but we're doing it over a course of 32 weeks. So there was a lot of reruns and no Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. today and all that stuff.
A lot of preemptive.
Right.
Yeah. And so that hurt it. And then Winter Soldier came out and everyone's like, let's just jump on board, which is great. What I love about this next season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is we're going to get 14 episodes. Then we're going to go to the Peggy Carter Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yep. And then we're going to come back with more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So there's no repeats.
And that's really smart for Marvel, because Marvel just got two shows on the air in one time
slot.
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't even have to pitch another show or try to...
And they're not going to lose heat whatsoever. Those people that watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the first half of the season are going to jump on the Peggy Carter Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm more interested in seeing the Peggy Carter show than the Coulson show.
And here's the other thing to keep in mind, too. It is still a pilot, and we still have a lot of potential. Encounter at Farpoint was only okay, and the first season of TNG was rough. Angel, first season of Angel,
that was really hard.
Was rough. Had its moments in the pilot, but was rough. The first season of Buffy, that was a little bit rough. It took a while to get going.
Yeah.
A lot of these great shows
take a minute to get some steam, or you have the opposite
where the first season of Walking Dead is phenomenal and then it crashes in the second season.
Right.
First season of Mad Men was really hard. I still haven't been able
to. I like the first season of Mad Men.
A lot of people like
it. I wasn't waiting for it to get good. I thought it was interesting, but it got much better. Most shows hit their peak around season 3 because they figured out what the show is, they're playing to its strengths, but they haven't drained all their ideas yet.
I just think it's something where it's like, we live in a world where Breaking Bad exists. You kind of got to step up your game or get out of the TV making business. You know what I mean? It's just there's not room for people to fuck around anymore.
There's not many shows like Breaking Bad where it's a phenomenal pilot and every episode gets a little better, and the best episode they ever made was the final episode.
But it's just you're not saying everything's got to be perfect or everything's got to be so good, but it's just this was just kind of an amateurish pilot, it seemed, where it was just kind of we don't really know what we're doing. We're going to try to go. It's like when they made Fantastic Four number one. Marvel hedged their bets with that book, and they were like, all right, we're going to do this thing, but people want to read monster comics, so throw the thing in there. So just in case it doesn't work, we've got a monster comic.
And let's make the cover basically a big monster.
So we can at least still sell it.
Yeah.
And, it was like a sleeper hit. And it's the same thing with this show, hopefully, is that, this first episode is maybe them trying to hedge their bets and saying, look, we might go in any one of these directions. And the next episode might be that show where it's like Jim Gordon versus the mob and Jim Gordon trying to get around and get Penguin out of there and Riddler. And you got to sprinkle that shit around. It's just like, if you use every villain in the first episode, the fuck are you going to do by the season finale? What the hell are we going to see?
Yeah.
Oh, we should throw you a man bat. Who cares? I just saw the fucking Penguin and Riddler. It's like, you're going to get so far down the list, he's going to be fighting Paste Pot Pete.
The dark side's going to show up.
Right.
Boom tube just opens in the middle of the...
They're going to break 9-year-old Bruce Wayne's net back.
There you go.
Azrael. Oh, I could see Azrael showing up. Yeah, I agree with everyone else. I think the cast is the strongest thing. It's a very, very good premise.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good premise and a good cast. If you can figure out the tone, which I think they missed, and if you can get the writing tighter and tone it down, just, you know, you don't need histrionics. You know, not everybody needs to be Tommy Lee Jones and Batman Forever in this show.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing it way too...
You know what the real sad part is? We keep saying, oh, if they could do this, if they could do that, if they can get this in the next episode. It's like, they already filmed all those episodes. They're done or they're not done, right? So it's just like, they either fucked this up or they didn't.
No, yeah, they're gonna listen to this and they're going to go on an all-night writing and reshooting binge
right,
just
there you
to
go.
Fix it.
Just to fix
no,
it.
No, they're not going to listen to this. They're going to read Twitter.
Right.
We have 5 days to fix the next episode of Gotham. Let's go.
I don't think that's... I mean, the whole season's done, right? It has to be.
Yeah, it's halfway done.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably shooting because... Did they get a 26-episode order or is it 13?
I hope it's a 13.
I got to say, I hope it's 13 after this episode.
I think it should be 13. Fox always goes 13, and I think in the mid-season... They always had what, American Idol or
Fantastic Four,
or some other show coming
out.
It's on the Monday. Monday is a very competitive.
And not only that, I guess they don't really care because it's local. I guess like the Bears are playing tonight, so it's like Chicago will be a dead zone, but everywhere else will watch it.
But still, it's Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
no, that's
so
true.
That's
a
huge thing. Everyone's going to watch it, so it's a big competition.
I don't think there's a whole lot of crossover between the core Gotham audience and the core Monday Night Football audience.
I kind of wanted to watch the game.
I've been checking up
which
updates.
Which kind of violence do I want?
There's that at least.
Do I want blood or do I want brain trauma?
Did you guys get just out of curiosity? Did you guys see the Flash pilot by any chance? Anyone?
No, I haven't seen it.
I've heard it's out there. You know what? They've got
it hasn't aired.
They're on
right?
bus
but it's
terminals.
Online.
They've got the posters now. It's like the lightning bullet, and it's him running. Like, I don't know why he's running in a zigzag like an idiot. But it's you see it, and you're just like, oh, that's awesome. Like, the Flash is coming to TV.
Yeah.
I want to see Constantine. I'm still really interested by Constantine. I feel like that's the one DC show that can live on its own. It can be out there. It's on NBC.
It's a good pilot.
Yeah, and they already fired the actress, so they're already figuring out what works and what doesn't. Yeah. And this Gotham could well be a show. Who knows? 3-4 years from now, we could say to each other like Star Trek. Yeah, that first season was rough, but man, once they figured it out, and we've been coming up with lots of different ideas to do it. But the fact that we've come up with 6 or 7 very different ideas in this room that we've all agreed to means there's still a lot of potential in this show.
Exactly.
You know what's funny is because like me and my friend Neil, my writing partner, we'll try and come up with concepts for TV shows, and we build the Bible and everything like that. So it's hard for other people to say like, you know, they get a season to figure it out. In my head, I'm like, all that stuff should have been figured out with the Bible. Like before we even went to like, to do the pilot, it should have been all figured out. Because that's like, you're wasting money on so many, like, networks money, acting. And then just like, you want to get a second season, right? It's like, you have to have a strong, solid first season. So it's always funny for me to hear, like, you know, they get one, the first season to just try and figure out. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, everything should have been figured out way long before. Yeah. It's like,
they don't always succeed. I think you know, Bill nailed it right on the head. Look at Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Look at The Office.
Named as one of the best shows ever made. The Office. Yeah, The Office.
The Office. They
restaged the Ricky Gervais episode.
Well, that's what the first season was like. We want the America. We want The Office set in America, and that's what the first season was. And then they're just like, we don't get that British humor well. That's why in the second season things got more goofy.
What saved The Office was the 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
Because that came out in the summer between seasons 1 and 2. But then Steve Carell was a star, and then NBC was like, you know, we have him on every week, and they started to focus more on him and bring the energy that he used in the 40-year-old virgin.
Well, yeah, they let him
be
a goofball in The Office, and that's what changed.
And that's what he
Simpsons.
Was on even on The Daily Show. That's his persona. They let him play his persona instead of trying to be Ricky Gervais.
And yeah, and The Simpsons, it's like the first season was always like, let's tell Homer stories. And then when they're like, can we tell Bart stories? And then that show just blew up. Yeah.
And then it became, can we tell stories about anyone in this town?
It's like, can we even tell stories anymore? It's been 20 years.
Yeah, so is anybody dropping it after this week?
I will gladly drop it.
Yeah.
Won't come back to Doctor Who.
No, I won't come back to Doctor Who. I'm going to drop it just because I have other things better to do. I will, you know what, if it does come on Netflix or something like that, I would gladly give it another try. I think my biggest problem right now is I can't do this like weekly show with it. I mean, I don't want to watch another bad episode and be like, well, maybe next week they'll get it right. Yeah. I will gladly sit down for like 3 hours, watch something, and if they don't get it, they don't get it, and I move on. But I can't do this like weekly thing with Gotham.
I'm going to put it on my TiVo. I'm going to watch the next episode. And theoretically, I'm going to watch it until it dies, because what's going to happen is either it's going to die very soon or I'm going to get caught up and I'm going to get 2-3 episodes into it. And then I'm going to be like, this is bad. There's no way this can last. So there can't be that many more episodes. So I'm just going to keep watching it until they cancel it. And with my luck, it's going to turn into freaking CSI Miami, which I hated for like the last four years it was on. But I had to keep watching the damn thing because I was in from the beginning, and damn it, I was gonna finish this.
Somebody has to.
That was Caprica for me, which I still never finished. I had 3 episodes left, and I was like, I can't. I just can't.
I'm still halfway through Caprica, and I'm committed to finishing it someday.
And it lasted what, 20 episodes?
About that.
You know what? I will admit that was me with True Blood. I was just like, I loved it. I love some. There were some cool concepts with it, but then I'm like, what's going on? Is that redheaded girl in this episode? She's not. Why am I still watching it now? I have the last season, the last episode, I watched half of it, and I was like, I'm going to go to bed. Someone told me the ending to it, and I deleted it. I was like, I don't need to watch this.
That's what I did with Heroes.
Oh, yeah, Heroes.
2 seasons of that, and then Carm's like, here's the third, and I don't even know if they did a fourth or whatever. And I got like halfway through the last season, I just gave up, and he's like, you got to finish it. And I'm like, nah. I'm good.
I did the first season of Heroes.
That was supposed to come back too, wasn't it?
I think
they're talking about it now. They're talking about bringing it back, like streaming or something.
Yeah, they ended the show at. Like CSI Miami, I ran that one into the ground.
Yeah,
and they finished it in such a way that they could leave it closed, or they could come back with it, and it was fine.
And you know what's weird too is like I do think Gotham's a great show if you have like 3 episodes, 4 episodes, and you have a Friday to kill. Because for some weird reason, I think it was basically built on my just work just ate up too much of my time. But Community got like that for me, and then I was just and I was just like, I missed a half season of Community. I guess I don't need to watch it anymore. But when I got like a free Saturday and I just sat there and watched the rest, I was like, oh man, do I love this show? And was happy to back on. I'm glad it's what's going to be on Amazon or Hulu.
Yahoo,
yeah.
Yahoo's going to build up their streaming with Community. Yeah. Yeah, Steven, are you out after this?
Or? Yeah, I don't have a DVR or a TiVo, and I'm not folks enough to come over to anyone's house on a weekly basis. You know what I mean? It's like I just too much going
you're,
on.
You're invited back here.
Oh, I know.
But I know you're not coming back every Monday.
No, there's no way I'm going to watch
I'm
this
amazed
show
you come
week.
Here every Saturday.
Yeah, that's like if you could get me in one place on a weekly basis and you're not paying me, consider it like a win. You know
what? That is the best compliment that you've ever given the show, and I think that's where we're at. There you go. We have managed to bring you back every week. Well, as we open the show, almost every week.
Almost every week.
For the last, we're going on 2 years.
Do you think we're going to see a Harley Quinn in Gotham?
Oh, like yeah.
That's what I could have said.
They're
going to
get that Harry Potter
girl.
See,
now we're repeating ourselves. We got to stop talking.
We've probably already seen her.
I'm just looking up, and I see the little figure, and I'm like, man, I love Harley Quinn.
You love that figure.
I love that figure.
You're getting distracted.
One more thing I just thought of. You know what they should have done, or they should do if they're smart, if they have any fucking brains between them, is you have Bruce Wayne meet his childhood friend Tommy Elliott, and then in fucking 3 seasons, you flash forward 10 years and fucking have Hush running around.
Yeah, they've never done Hush, and I feel like they would be like, nobody knows who Hush is, so don't do it.
And you know what? They're not gonna if you don't put him in this fucking show.
They're not gonna put Tommy Elliott in it either, because I just saw the IMDb casting, and he's not in anything. So it's just like, oh, they just missed out a great opportunity.
They're gonna have the man.
They're
gonna have the ten-eyed man. That's just the next week. As always, you can follow me at NotInMyBook on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. As we said, we've got some really great pictures of the studio from last week. We've been posting things. Learned today that the Deadpool movie is happening.
PG-13.
Which, you know, Fabian Nicieza came out and said, you know what, the comics are PG-13. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But, well, we can talk about that another day. Bill, you digitally.
Yep, you can find me at cromely.net, C-R-O-M-E-L-Y, and on Twitter, at cromely.
Dave, how committed are you to digital this week? Some weeks you are, some weeks you're not.
All right, guys, let's do this. David underscore Redfield at multiple things like Twitter, I guess, Facebook or Instagram, whatever. Oh, you find me. And 19 South LaGrange Road. In LaGrange
now what's he going to say?
Nothing. That's why I did it.
Chimera's Comics.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Check!